The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them city ass. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, known as USA Inc. Today's date is November the 30th, 2015. It is a Monday afternoon during a drizzly day here in North Carolina. It's been raining for the past few days. Not really hard, but I don't complain about the rain because you need water. Especially if you live in an area where you depend on groundwater to get your household water. So I don't decry the rain or anything like that, but it's kind of nasty out there. It's starting to get cold here as we are in the winter months, I guess we could say. I'm not sure when winter officially starts, but it's cold. And it's been cold for about a week here in North Carolina. Good to be back on these airways with you after a long weekend. Hope that you all got through the weekend without running into any other obstacles or becoming a victim, as many people do often become victims behind these enemy lines, become casualties on battlefield America. Well, today we will be discussing, I'll be sharing about four different news stories with you. Of course, I always have my commentary and whatnot to add into the mix. But if you would like to share your commentary, if you have any observations, any questions, you can call us two different ways. You can call us, well, actually three different ways. You can call us on your phone at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound, *6 and 1 to signal the host. That's me, yours truly. Signal me with *6 1 and I'll bring you on air. You can also, if you got a pair of headsets with a microphone attached to the headsets, you can use the web-based flash phone to make a free call from anywhere in the world, long as you got an internet connection, obviously. And the other way that you can call us is to give us a call on the studio line. That studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. And the final way that you can contact the show, I checked the chat room box. I was trying to respond to some questions that were left for me in the chat box, and it wasn't taking my replies, but I checked it today. The chat box that's on blacktalkradionetwork.com, the little blue tab at the bottom right hand bottom screen, if you click on that little green button, it'll open up the chat box and you can submit questions or comments to the program today via the chat box. Here are a couple of stories that caught my eye But there is always so much going on, and you just can't possibly cover everything in a 1 hour show, 2 hours, 3 hours. I could be here 4 or 5 hours talking about the important things that are going on globally. But two other things, well, four things. Come on, Scotty. Four things that caught my eye. On the page, the Facebook page of New Abolitionist Radio, Max shared a story on that page that caught my eye, and it is about the continued corruption in the Chicago Police Department. But there is a federal lawsuit that isn't being talked about that much. This lawsuit appears to have been filed in February by at least two police officers, and now they've been joined by a third who isn't a part of the lawsuit, but it's submitted in addition to, I guess, the lawsuit on the behalf of the other two cops, an affidavit, you know, stating that she saw everything that they talked about and the corruption, and even, you know, things were said to her pertaining to the two Chicago police officers who turned whistleblower on the corruption. All right, so you got the city of Chicago engaged still in that cover-up. Rahm Emanuel is the mayor, of course, and we know that his administration agreed to pay $5 million in hush money to the woman who gave birth to Laquan McDonald. And now he is also, well, I should say the administration, but hey, we can say Rahm Emanuel, since he's the mayor, he's calling the shots, right? The buck should stop at his desk, right? So we could say, you know, Rahm Emanuel is continuing to try to cover up the corruption of the Chicago police, and the city is opposing this federal lawsuit brought by these two Chicago police officers. Donald Trump was supposed to have a press conference today where he was going to announce that a group of about 100 or so evangelicals, black religious leaders across the country, were going to endorse him. But not so fast, said some of them. Some of the religious leaders declined to even meet with him, let alone endorse him. And so that's a story I want to, you know, share with you today, share some commentary and whatnot. Also going on today, Baltimore is in the midst of the jury selection in the first trial of one of six involving the Baltimore cops who were indicted in the death of Freddie Gray. Jury selection for Baltimore cop William G. Porter, a black cop, unfortunately, proxy tool of racism. His jury selection for his trial starts today. And you can get live updates. I have linked to the Baltimore Sun's page where they have been given live updates that are of the things that are happening within the courtroom. Very sad story. A victim of prison guards at Rikers Island was murdered after expressing concerns that his life was in danger to a relative. I think it was his mother. He told that if anything happens to me, to make sure that his girlfriend and their child was taken care of. Robert Hinton, I don't know if y'all remember his case, but he was beaten so bad that, you know, his face was left all bloody and swollen after about five or six Rikers Island prison guards, proxy tools of the system, beat him up. Saying beat him up, it doesn't really describe what happened to him. I mean, they just brutalized that young man. And he was killed last Thursday, and this information is really just starting to make its rounds in the news wire. But he was murdered by someone Thursday night, and Friday morning he was supposed to go pick up his $450,000 settlement check from the city of New York to settle the brutality he suffered at the hands of these prison guards. plantation overseers is really what we should be calling them. And police, of course, saying they don't have any leads whatsoever. So that's a sad story to report on. He might have been served best by leaving town since he seemed to feel like his life was in danger. But I mean, police saying that they don't have any leads, any suspects, whatever. Oh, they should check with them prison guards. All right, that's who the first suspect should be. And I was unable to even find out if these prison guards were ever prosecuted. I don't recall them ever being prosecuted. I'm not sure. So I can't say definitively either way. Now, before I get to those news, and I got a couple of audio clips that I'm going to share with you in association to those news stories I just talked about. But here are some things that you will find on our Black Talk Radio Network Facebook page if you follow us there, where I'm always trying to share, you know, news that I think is important to the listeners and the readers of the page, Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Samira Rice, that's the mother of the murdered child, Tamir Rice, in Cleveland, Ohio. She is testifying. I haven't heard that she has testified, but she was scheduled to testify after prosecutors asked her to testify in front of a grand jury today involving the case of her murdered son, who was murdered by Cleveland police officer Timothy Lowman. Now, here's a question that I'm asking on Black Talk Radio Network Facebook page. Why do you think the prosecutors even asked her to testify in front of the grand jury? Because she did not witness the shooting. She was not out there. You know, the only family members who were anywhere in the vicinity was his sister. His sister, who tried to run and comfort him after she realized her brother had been shot down by this Bruce Willis gung-ho cowboy type, Timothy Lowman, this Cleveland cop who was looking for some action. At least that's what his father, Fred Lowman, said, why he wanted to be a big city cop, because he was looking for some action. So considering the fact that Samira Rice was not a witness to the shooting, why do you think the prosecutor called for her to testify in front of this grand jury today? So it'll be interesting. And again, most of these grand jury proceedings are secret. But I want to know, what is the line of questioning going to be? See, this is what I think is going on. I think that they want to try to blame this woman for the killing of her child. I think they might try to get her on the stand and provoke her and you know, just try to make her look like, you know, an unfit mother or something like that. And, you know, it's really her fault that her son's dead. If he hadn't been out in the park playing with a BB gun, he might still be alive. So that's her fault and whatnot. But it just seems out of the ordinary for the parent of a murdered child to be called to testify in a case or in, you know, grand jury proceedings, whereas that person did not witness it. I mean, you got the video of it all. So what do you need her to testify to? What kind of questions are you going to ask her, Mr. Prosecutor, that has been trying to throw the case for over a year now? I mean, it's been over a year. You all do realize since Tamir Rice was murdered by Timothy Lowman. And then in addition to that, the prosecutor released some enhanced sequence video, you know, based on the video of the killing of Tamir Rice, and where they sent off the video to be sequenced and enhanced. And a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but some of the people who have weighed in on it seem to think this is just more of the prosecutor's shenanigans and trying to convince people that Timothy Lowman did not act with excessive force. You know, and so they doing everything he can to prevent this killer cop from being indicted. Speaking of killer cops, Jason Van Dyke, the murderer, the Chicago police murderer who shot and killed Laquan McDonald. I think saying shot and killed doesn't even do justice because, you know, shot, that means I shot you one time. You know what I'm saying? So the correct language, what would be the correct language? Let's just say he executed this young man, Laquan McDonald. Anyway. His bail was set today at $1.5 million. So that means that, you know, he probably most likely will only need to come up with $150,000, which would be 10%. That's usually what a bail bondsman requires, 10% of the bond. And so all he needs is $150,000 to make bail. And as I stated on Facebook, I'm sure. The fans of these killer cops and racists will do their best to raise the funds because they have nothing better to do with their money than to give it to a bail fund for a racist murderer. I mean, they had already raised something like $10,000 for him on, I think it was either GoFundMe or another one of those online fundraising websites, but I think it got shut down. I think, you know, GoFundMe finally got tired of making money off of these killer cops, and it was damaging their public image. So at least that's what it appears to be in this case. But that fundraiser did get shut down. But I think his father had like mortgaged the house or something like that. And the first time when they were trying to come up with bail money, even though he didn't have a bail. But something tells me this killer cop will be out on the streets. If you see him coming, you should be in fear for your life and do whatever's necessary to defend your life. Because he's already shown that he's a racist murderer. He doesn't have a problem with gunning down innocent people innocent, at least, you know, in the case of they were not threatening police officers or threatening anyone to kill anyone. So, yeah, if this guy makes bail and you see him coming down the street, you should be in fear for your life and do whatever's necessary to protect yourself from this killer. Let me see. I think that's about it for some of the news stories. Tando Radio Show will be on air today. A very important show. They will be talking about the new status of the Chinese, how do you pronounce that? Renminbi, also known as the Chinese yuan, as it has been included in the IMF's basket of currencies or preferred currencies or something like that. So Brother Dave will be on today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Tando Radio Show to break it down for you, why you should be concerned about the new status of this Chinese renminbi. All right, so that's something that you can look forward to right here on Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so let's go ahead and jump to the first story on the plate today. I want to talk about the city of Chicago, which again is led by Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And this guy, as I was reading today, I found a 2008 article where it was talking about five quick facts you need to know about Rahm Emanuel. He got his political career started working for Richard M. Daley, Richard, the former mayor of Chicago, who was also known to be a notorious white supremacist terrorist in the city of Chicago, covering up a lot of police crimes up there as well. So it shouldn't be no surprise that now that Rahm Emanuel is mayor, that's his modus operandi. That's how he operates. That's how he's running the city, to continue to cover up corruption within the Chicago Police Department. So the article that Max shared on New Abolitionist Radio states is that, and it's coming from a report from NBCChicago.com, but you have two police officers who are alleging widespread corruption within that department. So I'm going to go ahead and cue up the video that is associated with that, and so you can take a listen.
NBC 5 investigates, is the Chicago Police Department punishing, even endangering, two of its own?
Those are the allegations in a lawsuit filed by two current police officers who say they just want to blow the whistle on corruption. Here's Phil Rogers.
It has long been a whispered allegation. Charges of a blue wall, a code of silence in the Chicago Police Department.
They cover up corruption more often than not. Those individuals who are guilty of the corruption are promoted so that they can just go away.
Officers Shannon Spaulding and Danny Echeverria say they saw corruption firsthand during an undercover operation which led to the arrest and conviction of narcotics officers Ronald Watts and Khalid Muhammad. But the two officers have long contended their investigation stopped too soon.
Correct.
And that the corruption in the unit was much larger than Watts and Muhammad.
Correct.
And those officers are still on the force.
Correct.
Spaulding and Echeverria charge in a federal lawsuit that commanders leaked their role in the investigation to fellow officers, and they were quickly branded as rats.
It is no secret that if you go against the code of silence and you report corruption, you will be retaliated. It will ruin your career.
They allege that numerous high-ranking commanders either joined in or permitted the harassment.
I couldn't continue to see that kind of treatment.
Now, this former officer, Janet Hanna, has come forward with a sworn affidavit to say she witnessed the harassment firsthand. She says the day before Spaulding and Echeverria arrived in the Fugitive Apprehension Unit here at Holman Square, her boss warned her they were internal affairs rats.
They were given dead-end jobs that would lead to no arrests.
What's worse, Hanna says she was present when the commander of the unit warned his officers to ignore Spaulding and Echeverria if they ever called for backup. One sergeant warning Spaulding
that she better wear her bulletproof vest. She may go home in a casket, and he doesn't want to have to call her daughter and tell her that she, you know, she's gone.
And that was because she would be in danger from bad guys and they wouldn't protect her from the bad guys, or she'd be in danger from her fellow officers?
Both.
Indeed, the suit states that in one meeting, one of their supervisors stated, God help them if they ever need help on the street. It ain't coming.
The citizens of Chicago would look at this lawsuit with so many brass hats named as defendants, and they would say, this can't be true.
That's what the city of Chicago is banking on. Nobody believing it. It's cost me everything for doing the right thing. Everything. And the city is just covering it up.
The Chicago Police Department declined our request to speak with Superintendent Gary McCarthy about the allegations raised by these officers. The department said in a statement that McCarthy has zero tolerance for retaliation against whistleblowers. But that same statement said the city believes the lawsuit is without merit. Phil Rogers, NBC 5.
So, as I stated, this is a report. It looks like this lawsuit was filed earlier this year, and that would be before the revelations about Laquan McDonald's snuff film, is what we'll call it, you know, police snuff film. And so this lawsuit was filed by these two Chicago police officers way prior to the information coming to light that Chicago police, along with, we might as well say, the Cook County State Prosecutor's Office, conspiracy to cover up the murder of Laquan McDonald, including $5 million in hush money to the woman who gave birth to him but was not his parent. All right, and to keep that video quiet was the agreement that she agreed to. Don't say nothing about the video. Just take this $5 million and, you know, go buy some, you know, butter biscuits with it or whatever. So you can see there, not that I needed to see this, and I'm sure the citizens of Chicago will have no trouble believing the merits of this lawsuit. I don't think you will have any trouble. Look, this woman also said she worked at Holman Square. What did we hear about Holman Square? That, you know, they were kidnapping people off the street and taking them to Holman Square and torturing them. You know, that's still a case that has yet to be resolved that they just hope will fade from people's memories and go away and whatnot. But I think you might have a couple of lawsuits filed in relation to that. John Burge might be the most infamous cop ever to put on a Chicago police uniform, a former police captain who ran a torture unit where this is what kills me. These people are not interested in finding out the real perpetrator of crimes. All they are interested in is closing cases as fast as possible. And John Burge and his torture squad of thugs were torturing people, including children. I think Mark Clemens of No More Death Penalty, one of their victims, was like 16 years old when, you know, they tortured him and, you know, was doing all kind of foul things to him, using cattle prods and things of that nature. So, you know, Chicago has a long, 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 long history of corruption in politics, corruption at the police department, and, you know, they just not interested in implementing a system that is based on justice. That appears to be the case with Rahm Emanuel, as the city continues to fight this lawsuit and say, oh, these two cops are just lying. And, you know, what reason would these cops have to lie? You know, what reason would they have to put their life on the line like that? All right. And this woman, this former cop, she's retired now, who has, issued this affidavit saying that, yeah, my former bosses told me about these two people and, you know, all the mistreatment that was directed at them, the threats or the implied threats. You know, if you get caught out there, don't expect us to help you and whatnot. This is nothing new. This is stuff we have heard from other whistleblower cops. Detective Joe Glass out of Baltimore, the former detective out of Baltimore, he no longer works for them. You know, earlier this year, we were talking about his case where he was reporting widespread corruption. His case involved him testifying against cops who had beat up a handcuffed suspect in a home invasion or something. And he was like, that's not right. You know, and you know, I'm not going to go along with this corruption. And he testified against them. And then what happened to him? They start targeting him. I think he said they even threw a rat on his vehicle. NYPD has had lawsuits filed against it. I can't remember that one cop's name that filed a lawsuit against them, but alleging the same sort of things, how they were putting his life in danger because he wouldn't go along with their racist patterns and practices, and he blew the whistle, so they start targeting him, trying to set him up to get killed and whatnot. So, you know, people, you need to start asking the question whenever these cops get killed, except for the ones that's killing themselves or you know, cause a number of those, at least four this year, stage hoaxes and pretending like, you know, Black Lives Matter or you know, people who are against police terrorism shot them or targeted them or whatnot, and come to find out, you know, they did it to themselves and whatnot. But again, this is standard practice and procedure, it seems, that most of these police departments, especially these big city police departments, same sort of stuff. We have seen this going on throughout the years, and it never gets cleaned up because, you know, I think that the institutions are so utterly corrupt. I think you would have to tear them down and build and start over, and just start over with all new recruits and just lay everybody else off, because this is a criminal organization that we're talking about here. You know, people want to talk about thugs and gangs and stuff like that. Well, ain't no larger gang, ain't no larger criminal organization or enterprise than police. I mean, all you had to do was really listen to some of these police union representatives, like Pat Lynch out of New York, other one out of Baltimore. Man, they sound like freaking mob bosses or something, man. I'm telling you, they sound just like freaking the stereotypical mob boss. That's what they sound like to me. So it should be no surprise that We're hearing reports from other whistleblowers, in fact, in Chicago, the man that worked at the Internal Review Authority, Civilian Review Authority. He had been like a 24 years he had on the force, a black male who was fired because he would not go along with finding shootings of civilians to be justified by cops. And in six cases, including Laquan McDonald's case, he was pressured to reverse his findings, where he found that the shootings were unjust, weren't justified, violated procedure, policy, whatever. And so his supervisor tried to get him to reverse his findings, and he refused to do it, so they fired him. This is standard pattern and practice across the United States, okay? Across the United States. And so it just shows you the depth of what we're dealing with, man. We're dealing with some of the most powerful organized criminals probably on the planet, man, on the planet. And so, you know, I just want to shout. The only good cops that I see out there are cops that come forward like this. Cops that, you know, blow the whistle. Despite losing everything, you know, or the threat of being targeted or something like that. And you know, you got to support those type of people, man. You got to support those type of people because, you know, obviously they have a set of morals and a moral compass that just isn't found that frequent within these departments. So, disturbing. It is just very disturbing that Rahm Emanuel continues to, you know, stand up and cover up for these killer cops in this corrupt Chicago Police Department. All right, we are going to take a station identification break, and then on the other side, we will move to our next story.
No, it really isn't. Because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Donald Trump was scheduled to have a press conference today with a group of about 100, I think it was billed as, of black religious leaders from across the country. They were invited to a meeting to meet with him at Trump Towers in New York. But a lot of them, quite a few of them, declined his invitation. And he's being called out for lying and saying that, you know, this press conference was to announce, you know, all of these black religious leaders who were going to endorse his GOP candidacy to become president. Well, a couple of those, quite a few of those black religious leaders declined to meet with him. Let alone endorse him. And they were like kind of upset that, you know, this was being put out there by Trump's people as, you know, well, we just gonna have this press conference announcing that these black leaders were behind Donald Trump. And they said it was nothing of the sort. And some of them even said that, you know, I'm not meeting with this guy. And so we're going to hear from Bishop Clarence McClendon. Talking about why he is declining in meeting with or even endorsing Donald Trump.
I was invited to the first meeting in Atlanta. That was the foundation as they was laying it out in Atlanta. And so I refused to go, you know, the pastors that was organizing
why?
Here. Because I just feel as though if I'm a kingdom representative, I represent the kingdom of God, so thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Donald Trump is representing right now, the insults, the degrading, is not what we're all about. So for me to endorse somebody like that, where you have no respect for people, I mean, with the women, I think that was a disgrace. And just the disabled reporter, that is unbelievable. Even the way they pulled the man out, Black Lives Matter, it's like a bully in the 21st century. It's not presidential. I think if you're going to be a president, you got to be presidential. Now, I don't mind, I want to make it clear, I don't mind pastors going that go and pray for Mr. Trump. But in the prayer, I think that they need to say to Mr. Trump, listen, you need to apologize to women, you need to apologize to the immigrants, the list goes on and on. And if he comes out and says, look, I just met with some men of God and women of God, and I'm sorry, everything I said, then you could look at him differently. But right now, he doesn't believe in apologizing. So that's not what I'm looking for. I'm leading people, and the same kind of people that he's hurting. How do I go back to my people and say, hey, we're endorsing him, but he's talking bad about us?
Yeah, you go back to your people and you say, Trump offered me 10,000 butter biscuits, and that's why I'm endorsing him. It ain't got nothing to do with race, it ain't got nothing to do with policy, it ain't got nothing to do, I just love them butter biscuits. And apparently, you know, Trump make a good butter biscuit, because he does have some of these black pastors who are endorsing him, or at least that's what they were saying on CNN right before I came on air, as I was just, you know, watching the news, trying to get some updates on that since the press conference had been canceled. You got, obviously do have some proxy racist tools of Donald Trump, who will be, you know, showcased out there as being, you know, supporters of Donald Trump. And, you know, Donald Trump, I haven't heard, other than immigration, other than, you know, his childish antics and whatnot, I haven't really heard him really talk about any issues whatsoever that pertains to the black community. Not that these issues are exclusive to the black community, but they are very important to the black community. I haven't really heard him come out and say anything about the Voters' Rights Act, which, you know, you got a couple of Supreme Court cases involving the voter IDs and things of that nature. You have to assume he's taking the standard Republican position on that. You know, it's the Republicans that move to implement all these voter ID laws and whatnot, citing non-existent fraud. I mean, here in North Carolina, I think our state's case is before the Supreme Court right now, the voter ID thing, and they had only found like five cases of what could have been voter ID fraud out of millions of votes cast in the past two presidential elections. They could only find five cases, but that represents widespread fraud. So we got to get everybody IDs and whatnot, and so yeah, he's probably, but I haven't heard him really weigh in on any of the issues like police terrorism, 21st century slavery, and human trafficking. You know, let's just do a quick Google search, Trump on the issues, and see what comes up. Donald Trump on the issues. On the issues.org, this is not a Donald Trump website. This is actually a source I have used in the past, that tracks these political candidates and, you know, gives their positions on the different issues. And so, let me see. Donald Trump on civil rights, disinvited from red state gathering for misogynistic comments. Political correctness is country's problem, not my problem. Same-sex marriage is a state issue. No gay marriage, no same-sex partner benefits. Tolerate diversity. Prosecute hate crimes against gays. That's going all the way back to 2000. So he's given different opinions on this. Let's see. He is for capital punishment. Let me see. He's shown several different positions on that. Let's see. In 2011, he did say let's legalize drugs and use tax revenue to fund drug education. Let's see. That was in back in 2011. I mean, most of these quotes are very old. Let me see. Not really seeing anything new. Yeah. So he really hasn't come out and made any comments that I have seen here recently. Bernie Sanders has introduced legislation to ban private prisons and jails in this country. It's called the Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015. Then he introduced the legislation to remove the federal ban on cannabis. And I haven't heard Donald Trump say anything going on those positions and whatnot, although it does say back in 2011, that he takes the same position as the cops who say legalize. I'm speaking of law enforcement against prohibition. But we saw how he treated the people at Black Lives Matter. He has long been an antagonist of those people. Have threatened that if they came to my rally, I'm gonna beat them up, and if I don't beat them up, somebody'll beat them up. And we just saw this black man get beat up in Alabama by some of his protesters. Some of his supporters down there in Alabama and whatnot. So Donald Trump, I just don't see anything that he has stated policy-wise that I feel like, would attract any person who's in tune with the issues that the black community is facing. I haven't heard any monumentous jobs program or anything like that. I haven't heard a plan to address, the failing school system. And I just really haven't heard a whole lot from this guy on anything of substance. It's just really been a circus show, really. I don't know what people expect from this guy, given that, he's been around for quite some time and, he's a reality TV star, and he's probably just running. I don't even know if he's serious about running for president. We'll see. Maybe he's just trying to boost his own personal stock and whatnot. But would I have met with Donald Trump if I had been invited to meet with Donald Trump? I most certainly would have. I would have been in that room for nothing other than intelligence gathering purposes, because he said they're having a private meeting and it's going to stay private and all this and that. If I had an invitation, I would be in that room to listen intently, to take notes and whatnot, see, what he's got to say. And also I would ask him questions. I would ask him questions on the issues that I just talked about. So anybody that's meeting with him, I would not, have a problem with that. Yeah, you should gather intelligence from all of these people as much as you can, right? And then, disseminate that as you will to the rest of us, so that we'll know, for sure what this person is talking about or what they're proposing or whatnot, to see how we might can leverage it. So I ain't got a problem with these pastors meeting with him. What I do got a problem with is these pastors. Some of the pastors apparently are endorsing him, and I just don't see how you can endorse him. Just strictly speaking from the way that last Bishop McClendon was speaking, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, I'm a Christian. This person tell lies. That's a mortal sin to lie. So what would I, as a Christian pastor, look like endorsing a liar? Hell, I might as well endorse Satan himself, the father of all lies. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, you know, this guy, the things that he has said, the racism, the xenophobia, the misogyny and whatnot. How do you go back and tell, where do you go back and tell your congregation and whatnot of why you supporting Donald Trump? Well, I mean, what? You know, did God whisper in your ear and whatnot and see, you know, and people will believe that. People will believe that. They believe that many of these people are appointed by God, and that's why they're called men and women of God, like they're modern day prophets and whatnot, who have been anointed by the Holy Spirit and you know, to teach you false doctrine about tithing and whatnot. And so, you know, a lot of people will follow their instructions. If you got like a church pastor and say, yeah, you know, I was praying last night and God told me that Donald Trump would make a great president, you know. But I said, Lord, but he's a racist and he's a misogynist and whatnot. And you know, he's just a very violent and irrational person who tells a lot of lies. No, Lord, I can't do it. And I mean, how does that conversation go? How does that conversation play out with these people, man? So I don't know which of these pastors that CNN is talking about that's now report that's supporting Donald Trump, but I am interested in hearing their reasoning. And I bet you it'll be something like that. Well, we prayed with Donald Trump and we laid hands on him and we anointed him with some oil and covered him with the blood of Christ. And we just feel confident that he would make a great president. And I'm like, oh God. Crazy, man, crazy. So that's a story that we will continue to watch. We actually did include this story on proxyracism.com, and giving a shout out to the black pastors who refuse to be Trump's chumps. Said they ain't going, man. They not even trying to meet with the guy. So hats off to them for not being part of that circus. All right, as I stated at the beginning, one of the other stories that we're watching, the murder trials, and I said that because there are more than one, even though there's only one victim. But Freddie Gray was murdered by police. I shouldn't say murdered. I don't think they intentionally meant to murder him. But I do think that they showed that he did die as a result. So I'll go with manslaughter or something like that. I don't think that they set out to kill him. I could be wrong. Maybe one of them did set out to kill a black person that day, including the black proxy racist cops. It could be. But they're just their indifference to his suffering and whatnot. Yeah, you know. But anyway, that the first of those trials started today, and that involves officer Baltimore cop William Porter. He's one of the six Baltimore police officers who were charged in the arrest and the death of Freddie Gray. He is a black cop. He's being represented, it looks like, by this white man. I'm not sure who his attorney's name is, but they are predicting. I'm watching, and I have linked to, in case you want to watch it, they are doing some live tweeting and coverage on BaltimoreSun.com, BaltimoreSun.com. The very last thing that was posted there, they said that an attorney, Bill Murphy, predicts that they will have a jury of 12 people selected by tomorrow. That'll be Tuesday and Wednesday at the latest. Let me see. It was interesting reading over some of the questions that were being asked to these jury members. And pretty much every one of them, well, I should say, put it this way. The judge asked if any of them had heard about the case, and nobody raised their hands. Zero jurors stood. They were asked about if whether or not they were aware of the curfew that was imposed after the unrest. After Freddie Gray's death, zero jurors stood up. Have any of you not heard about this case? Zero jurors stood. Do you have strong feelings about race, sex, religion, of the defendant, witnesses, etc.? One juror member stood up. I wonder why did they stand up? Why? I mean, what kind of strong feelings did they have, and who did they have those strong feelings about, and what were those strong feelings? One of the things I will continue to insist upon is that we need empathy screening on these juries. All right. The goal, of course, is to have an impartial jury. I don't think that race should play a role in that. Again, you know, how can you say that black people or any other people who have suffered under this system of racism, white supremacy, that we are best suited to judge these sort of cases or something like that because, you know, we're just experts on justice? Or no, hell no, hell no. You got many people, black people, that are brainwashed, all right, just like the rest of the population, to believe every word that comes out of a cop's mouth. They are also impacted by the anti-black propaganda that comes out over the different formats of media, and they have a lot of anti-blackness in them as well. And so, you know, I don't think race should be a determining factor. I do think, however, that a jury should reflect the makeup of the community from which that jury was pulled. All right. But most importantly, I think all juror members should be forced to undergo empathy testing, you know, to test if they have racial bias or any other kind of bias. You know, you can come up with test questions to where you can be able to tell if a person has implicit bias and whatnot. I think that that should be a part of the process, you know. So I just don't think that the current system that we have, I don't think it is all that constructive. I don't think that the goal, I don't know, I can't say the goal has ever been to impanel impartial juries, but I can tell you the outcome has not been to impanel impartial juries. That is why many of these prosecutors aim to get all white juries. You know, I'm again thinking about the current trial of Daniel Holzclaw, the former Oklahoma City police officer who's standing trial right now out there for the rape of a whole lot of black women, from grandmothers to teenagers. He was raping them and whatnot, and somehow, you know, they impaneled an all white jury. So definitely the process needs to be revisited, and empathy testing or testing for implicit bias should be a big part of the jury selection process. That's just my opinion based off of some of the scientific studies I have read about implicit bias in white people. All right, but I do, again, I'm sure, you know, there are black people that have implicit bias as well. So anyway, the last story that I'm going to share with you today pertains to, give me just a second as I get to it, a very sad story coming to you out of New York. Robert Hinton was murdered. He was murdered, but we don't know by who. At least that's what the police are saying. They don't know who murdered this young man. FreeThoughtProject.com posted an article about this yesterday, and I just saw it today. I'll share a little bit, but I have linked to it if y'all want to get the full report. Robert Hinton, 28, was killed just before midnight on Thursday, the day before he was scheduled to receive a $450,000 settlement from the city. Hinton had won the settlement roughly 2 months ago when it was decided in court that corrections officers used unjust force against him during his stay at Rikers Prison. Surveillance footage at the prison revealed that correction officers hogtied Hinton and assaulted him, all while he was already shackled and not threatening to harm them in any way. Hinton was being transferred to another part of the jail but refused to leave his cell. According to the lawsuit, that is when five correction officers, including a captain, entered his cell and assaulted him. The judge said in her decision that, "I find that Hinton was never uncuffed during the use of force and was incapable of defending himself. Once inside the cell, the officers left Hinton handcuffed and shackled and administered a brutal beating that was contemplated before they entered the cell." So I guess she's saying this was a premeditated beating of Mr. Hinton. "You don't get what you want, you get what you deserve, which is an ass whipping," the captain said during the beating. "Unfortunately, what happened to Roberts happens every day on Rikers Island. Roberts, the lucky one who got his day in court," one of his lawyers, Nicole Billalina, said during his trial. "Rikers is notorious for mistreatment of his inmates. Earlier this year, it was reported that Rikers allowed guards to rape female inmates. Prior to that, there were concerns about rat poison being found in the food that was served to prisoners. After the poison was found in their food, they were then denied medical attention so the prison could avoid any evidence being collected." I guess evidence for future lawsuits and whatnot. This young man was hopeful about getting his life on track and you know, getting a fresh start. But somebody saw to it that he didn't see a penny of that money as he was gunned down Thursday night. And they are saying they don't have any suspects, they don't have any leads in this case. But, you know, I can speculate along with the best of them that they should check these prison guards out and see if they got any alibis or see if they hired anybody to kill him. Now, what I was not able to find out is that if any of these correction officers were charged for brutally beating this man. I would say that would attempted murder charges would not have been out of the way. They would have been warranted because the way, I mean, if you look at the photograph of his face, you know, all that kind of blunt force trauma to his head and other extremities, they could have easily killed Mr. Hinton. But somebody saw to it that he didn't get a dime of that money. We hope that it will go to his child so that she can perhaps have everything that she needs in life coming up now that she won't have her father. But yeah, if I was an investigator in this, those would be the first people I looked at, was those prison guards who I can't find any record of them even being prosecuted. And that's a problem throughout this country, man. You know, you look at Chicago and the millions and millions of dollars they have paid out over the past couple of years. New York City, Baltimore City, that was becoming an issue. You know, they were paying out so much money, I think they passed a law in Maryland to cap, you know, how much they could pay out to a victim or whatnot. But you know, you see all of these payouts happening, but what you don't see is all of these cops and prison guards and others being prosecuted and convicted and put on a prison plantation themselves. And instead of taxpayers getting angry at this corruption that is costing them billions of dollars across this nation annually, you know, those are resources you could have had to help, you know, fund the new school or build on to the new school or whatever services, you know, the citizens of your county might have needed, but you paying them out. And you know, I can't say everyone, but a lot of times you will hear people in right-wing media talking about, oh, they hit the ghetto lottery, you know, they got the ghetto lottery. this person just wanted to get paid. And all. And see, they will have animosity and hostility towards the victim. And I mean, the police and the city wouldn't be agreeing to pay out this money if there was no crime committed against the victims. But no, instead of them getting mad, see, that's them white people and their lack of empathy that has been scientifically proven. A lot of white people, not all of them, but I would say the majority of them, according to these studies, don't have empathy for the victims, especially if they're black. Oh, you just want to hit the ghetto lottery. Them cops didn't beat you down. They didn't murder your son and all this and that. Anyway, very sad, very sad. Condolences to the Hinton family. Think about that. You know, you about to pick up your check for the brutal beating that you got, and then somebody guns you down. And I don't suspect that they will find out who did it. I just got this sneaky feeling that they aren't really interested in finding Mr. Hinton's killers. All right, that is the conclusion of our program. Oh, we do have a caller, so caller, you will get the last say on today's broadcast of Black Talk Radio News, area code 973. Thank you for chiming in. Go ahead with your question, comment, or observation.
Good evening, Mr. Reed. How are you?
I'm not going to complain too much.
Great. I was listening. It was a previous story about the pastor, and mm-hmm. I thought about what he was saying in terms of forgiveness, and I was not on the same page with that. He sounded like if Mr. Trump will come to his congregation and ask for forgiveness, he may endorse him. And I just found it just had a bad taste in my mouth because, you know, I would hope that, I wouldn't even want to meet with Mr. Trump. He has disrespect the black community so much. I mean, I just don't know. He's just appalling to me. So when I heard the pastor say, you know, I don't blame other pastors or whatever for going. I mean, that's their prerogative, no doubt about it. But to say that if he forgave, if he get up and have a press conference and say, please forgive me for all the things I said, and we supposed to forgive him, there we go back to that whole forgiveness thing again, which to me, it's not warranted at all. So I just wanted to make that point when you mentioned forgiveness. It just left a bad taste in my mouth because when we think about the forgiveness factor, that was very prevalent in that case where that white guy went to the church and killed all those people. And then the next day, the woman talking about she forgave him and not good at all. So I just wanted to point that out, that I hope that he won't go around mentioning that that's all Mr. Trump has to do in order for black people in church, you know, to say forgiveness and give them the vote. So that's what I had to say, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I go back and listen to that clip. I did link to it. I didn't really take so much. I'll listen to it again that he said that he was going to endorse him, but I think he was saying, well, maybe you could look at him differently if he asked for forgiveness. But I agree with you, though, caller. I agree with you, 973, that even if he was to say, you know, I'm sorry for being an asshole and a racist and all that, he can say what he want to say. You know what I'm saying? Talk is cheap. Actions speak a lot of words. And given his long, long history, and, you know, that's just who he is, man. He could say, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, now all of a sudden be attracted to support your campaign or something like that. I hope that wasn't what that bishop meant by that. But again, you know, apparently some of these black pastors, according to CNN, they didn't say any names, but they just said some black pastors are supporting Donald Trump. So I am interested in hearing what reason are they supporting him. Is it for his policy positions? And if so, what policies did he intimate to them that now has, I mean, did he talk about, you know, yeah, I listen to Black Talk Radio and New Abolitionist Radio, and they're right, the 13th Amendment didn't abolish slavery, and if I'm president, I'll work to really end. Nah, he ain't said nothing like that. So it ain't really nothing I can think of that that, you know, this man could have said, except for, you know, he might have offered them some butter biscuits. He was like, yeah, you know, you endorse my campaign, you will find a hefty donation coming in the mail and whatnot. And I know that's illegal, but we can figure out a way to make that happen. I got lots of partners out there and whatnot. So, I feel you, you know, I feel you, man. And then, you know, on the forgiveness tip, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm sorry, but it's another thing to actually pay for your crimes, you know. You can say you're sorry all you want to, but you have to repair the damage that you have done. So, you know, how you plan on doing that? So, yeah, I don't think Mr. Trump is serious in his outreach to black voters. I think he's just looking to showcase, to borrow a term from Neely Fuller Jr., he's looking to showcase some black pastors on his campaign so that, you know, other black people might be fooled into thinking that this man ain't a racist. All right. Recognize the fact that we live behind enemy lines. It's Battlefield America out there. Casualties are being created every day. So that you can decrease the likelihood that you will become one of those casualties, you need to develop battlefield skills, situational awareness. You just need to do all that you can do to not become a victim. There's no guarantee that you won't become a victim or a family member won't become a victim, but it's still always best to be proactive and not wait for things to happen to you and then you be unprepared. Prepare for everything as much as possible. Remember, Tando Radio Show will be coming on live today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and they will be talking about global currency. So it's a broadcast that you don't want to miss, as that program really tries to help black people, listeners of Black Talk Radio, to prepare for anything, to prepare for, you know, man-made disasters, natural disasters. That's the theme of that program, is just preparedness. All right. With that said, I will be back on air tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, peace and blessings to all. Fake love, no love, you get the slug. CB4, gusto, the luck low. I didn't know till I was drunk though. You beat cats and played out, get robbed and laid out. Gambino turned snitch, I got the right out. 96 rays I made out, Montana way, the good FBLLA. Verbal AK spray, dip detachment, jump out the range, empty out the ashtray. The blast is A, making mad cash display. Red dot plot, murder scan, 32 shots run. Regulate with my gun, 17 rocks clean for one ring. Yo, let me let y'all people know one thing. There's one life, one love, so there can only be one king. Ooh.